You're listening to The Profile.
Hello and welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. For the past 17 years, I've been interviewing leaders in the church and the wider culture. In the coming weeks, you'll be hearing the best of these conversations, plus some brand new ones as well. It was leadership expert John Maxwell who famously said, "Leadership is influence." Some have massive influence through their role as a leader of a church or business, a charity or a family. Others have influence in their neighborhood, a network of friends, or through leisure interests. It's our prayer that these conversations will help you in whatever spheres you have influence. This show is brought to you by Premier Christianity Magazine, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Get full online access and the print magazine every month by becoming a subscriber. See special offers available now at premierchristianity.com. From time to time, we dip into the archive, and this week we are revisiting a show recorded with Dr. Pete Carter of Eastgate Church and founder of Heaven in Healthcare. We looked at authority and how its use and understanding within Christian leadership should be appreciated. I trust you'll enjoy the show. It was a long time before I realized the derivation of the word authority. The word authority had a connection with the word author. Now, maybe you realize that already, but the meaning takes you back to a statement, passage, or book which settles an argument. He is an authority means no one knows more about whatever it is. So having authority came with your connection to that statement and perhaps the author himself or herself. In scripture, of course, we would see this as God himself. The word authority is, of course, used in all aspects of leadership inside and outside the church. And some look to become leaders because they believe it will give them authority that they want in life. So to discuss the topic, I'm joined by Dr. Pete Carter, one of the directors of Eastgate Church in Gravesend. He's also the founder of Heaven in Healthcare. And with that connection, you'll realize he's a medical doctor as well. So welcome, Pete, back to the Leadership Show.
Nice to see you, Andy, and thanks for the invitation. Always enjoy having time with you.
Great. Well, thank you. So I guess we need to start by defining terms. You may want to look at the Greek words for authority on power or whatever, but where's your understanding that the Bible takes us when it comes to the word authority?
Yeah, I think I've studied this in depth because I think it's one of those big subjects of the wrong use of authority, as everybody would understand it, is damaging. A great use of authority actually is enabling. So, and I always found it fascinating when reading the Gospels and people often said, "Hey, this guy's teaching with authority." You know, they were surprised at Jesus' authority. And then it drove to the question, you know, well, where did he get this authority from? In one other words, who authorized him? Because that's another part of authority is actually. And the Pharisees came to him one day and said, "Look, hey, by what authority are you doing these things?" And I found his response fascinating because it's in Matthew chapter 21. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll answer your question if you answer mine," which is often the way that Jesus did things. He said, "So John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men?" And I think, as you remember, that they had a debate about it amongst themselves and decided that either answer to that question would get them in trouble. So they did the political reality of not answering the question, which is classic political spirit there. But that it's not the answer that interests me. It's actually the question, the validity of the question, that the Pharisees didn't say, "Oh, that's an invalid question." They recognized that there were two potential sources of authority that could be used. One was actually a human authorization and one was a heavenly authorization. And they recognized the differences between those two. And so I think what we have to work out, if we've got heaven's authorization, then it comes with heaven's culture, but also heaven's resources. And my understanding of authority really used well is actually it releases resources. And I can tell you a bit more about that from my medical framework, if that would help you.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's it gives us a kind of foundation. I guess if you wanted, I suppose you might want to go back to the authority given to Adam and Eve in the garden, which they then gave to Satan effectively, and the way that kind of is resolved in Jesus. I don't know if that's part of your outlook.
It is. I think that I think the story of creation is fascinating, isn't it? That God authorized Adam and Eve to rule the earth. It's quite extraordinary. And he chose to do it in relationship with them, but he actually gave them free choice within it. So actually he didn't take away choice in the garden. And I remember when I was a young Christian, I thought, would it be much easier if God hadn't put that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? We wouldn't be in this mess. But actually, we'd be in a different mess, wouldn't we? Because we'd have no freedom. We'd actually be just automatons. So right back there, God authorized them, but they made a bad choice, and they were deceived. And basically, they allowed themselves to come under a different sort of authorization, didn't they? So actually, that, and then all the consequences of that on planet Earth are catastrophic. But when Jesus came back, I think clearly his death and then his resurrection demonstrated that he'd taken back all authority. And then he delegated it to human beings. It's extraordinary that he took that risk with us again. Don't you think it's amazing that he'd actually say, yeah, that's worth the risk again. Didn't just take it back, but he actually then delegated it to his disciples and gave them authority. And he gave them authority over every disease, every sickness, every demon. And I think there's two sorts of authority that Jesus talks about, which is authority to destroy darkness. But the other authority he talks about actually is in John 17, verse 2, and where it talks about Jesus being given authority over all things in order to give life. So actually good authority gives life, but sometimes you have to destroy the bad in order to get to life. And that's a bit like their medicine. Sometimes we have to do things that are cutting things out, removing things that are bad in order to make sure that somebody has a life. So, but it's the confusion between those two different aspects of authority that I think gets the church into trouble, because there are two different ways of exercising authority. How you exercise authority towards the demonic is very different to how you exercise authority towards people.
And you, as a medical doctor, have obviously lots of illustrations of how as a doctor, you have resources that you can help others with. So do you want to explore that with us?
So basically, when I qualified as a doctor, I was actually authorised by, the National Health Service here in the UK to be able to dispense the resources of the National Health Service. So I had access to x-rays, drugs, other consultants. And so as a GP, I could access all the resources of the health service. And when people came to see me as my patients, then what they were coming to me for was to enable them to access the resources, but they couldn't because they weren't authorized to do so. In order to get an x-ray, they needed to come and see Dr. Carter, because Dr. Carter had authority in that realm. But that authority that I exercised was for their benefit and for their life, not to make me a superstar. It wasn't to build me up, it was actually to serve them. And godly authority towards people always serves people. And again, Jesus talked to the disciples about that when they wanted a position. John and James's mum came and said to Jesus, can my boys sit at your right hand and your left hand in heaven? Basically, she was after a position for them, she thought authority would flow. And Jesus said, no, we don't do it that way. The pagans do it that way, but not so with you. And it's really very clear. He said, that's not the way we exercise authority. He said, if you want to be great, you serve. And he demonstrated that washing the people's feet. He put a child amongst them. He said, the reality of what I have an authority as a doctor is to serve people. I think that's true of Christian leadership. Christian leadership is designed to serve other people, not to gain a position of authority over people.
Can you overlap authority and power for us, Pete? What are they, similar words, different words?
Well, I think authority, it says, gives you access to power. So I think, I see power as a resource of the kingdom. It's a result. If I want to fill my car up, I go somewhere where I can get that resource that would power my car, go to a petrol station. So I think authorization basically enables you to access the resources of heaven. And one of those resources is power. There are others, there's love, joy, peace, kindness, the fruit of the spirit, but the power, and it's the power to basically do the works of heaven on earth. As Jesus said to his disciples, if you've got faith in me, then you'll be able to do the works I've been doing and even greater works than these. And then Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And then the outcome of that is you will be my witnesses. So we have the Holy Spirit inside us, who is the source of all power. So we are powerful people. We need to understand how we use that power and how that authority comes together. And particularly in terms of healing and the miraculous, you need to understand. And this is, I think, as I teach about healing in many places, I think often misunderstood that Jesus gave us authority over disease and sickness. And we can use prayer as part of that authority, but he didn't actually ask us to pray for the sick. He said to heal the sick, basically do what I've delegated you to do. And you might use prayer to do it, but actually it's not the prayer that works. It's the authorization and the power and the faith that we enact through that prayer. And I think sometimes people plead with God to do something that they've been authorized themselves to do. And that's a frustration. So I think a lot of people get frustrated and disappointed in the realms of healing because they're not using their authority. They're resorting to request towards God, who's already delegated the authority to humanity.
So as a church at Eastgate, I know because I've attended courses that you've run, etc. You do see, shall we say, a higher level of power and authority over sickness and evil than maybe some other churches I've visited over time. And you do have a confidence in that. And I'm just on the basis that we're wise as leaders to learn from best practice. You've certainly got some good practice that you've been exercising. What would you say you've learned over the years that might be of value in this area for those perhaps in local churches where they don't see that kind of thing?
Number one tip is Jesus didn't teach people techniques. So I think there's a lot of stuff around the courses, you know, go on a course for healing and this, that, and the other that teaches techniques. They'll do it this way. And Jesus just definitely didn't do that. And actually, I think he demonstrated that wasn't the way he did it. There was no one way that he did it. And when people got healed, he always attributed their healing to one thing, which was actually their faith. In one sense, that's their trust in him, and they reached out to him. And I think you see that the link between faith and authority with the centurion, you know, when the centurion comes to his service, says, I understand how authority works. Jesus, you just say it and it'll happen, basically. And Jesus said, wow, this guy has amazing faith, which is basically trust. So if you substitute the word trust, actually, I trust that God has the power to do this. Then if I trust that he's delegated it to me, then I am confident in using that power and authority. So again, if I go back to my work as a GP, you know, I was confident that every day I stepped into my consulting room, I was still authorized that I was a doctor, I could prescribe. I didn't phone up the Ministry of Health every day and say, just checking in, do you still want me to prescribe today? That'd be silly. They go, there's a doctor down there. I don't think he thinks he's a doctor. It's that sense of...
yes.
Just get on with it. And I think there's some sense where God says, get on. But how do you get on with it? In a godly way. And so we very carefully create an atmosphere of heavenly reality. And like the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace and joy. So we deliberately create a peaceful, joyful environment which people walk into. And then people get healed without us praying for them. Sometimes we pray for them, but they just walk into the room. Why? Because we created a place where God is present. And like the woman with the hemorrhage, if she could touch Jesus, she'd get healed. That all we want to do, this is we have a one-step process. If we can create an atmosphere where people can touch Jesus in faith, trusting him, and it only takes a little mustard seed of faith, then they can get healed. And we have, well, thousands of testimonies now of that being true, not just in our building, but through people's everyday lives now. And I just love all those testimonies we have. And it's very simple, you know, connect people to Jesus and watch Jesus do amazing things.
So the corollary to that, I guess, is that therefore that whereas a lot of local churches may talk a good game in terms of, yeah, we trust in Jesus, in practice, they probably aren't. Or I should say this of myself, in practice, I can talk a good game. And in practice, maybe I'm not as confident as I am because we don't see, or local churches typically don't see that authority demonstrated. And therefore, they have to do other things to gain their sense of self-worth, I suppose, as a church, because they know, because essentially they don't have the power where they need the power. Would that be fair?
Confidence is a really helpful word. So it's like other spiritual gifts. You know, I'm very confident in the gift of tongues that God has given to me, that I can pray in tongues. I'm confident in the gift of prophecy that God's given to me, and I can prophesy. Now, those things are not very controversial, you know. I think we got to that stage where speaking in tongues is not so much a controversial subject. I know maybe some don't do it, but if I confidently say I can speak in tongues, most Christians are not saying, ooh, who do you think you are? When it comes around to healing the sick, then that sort of confidence is, woo, you know, that does get a who do you think you are? Or, but we need to be confident in God and confident in his power. But I think in the realms of healing, we are still in the battleground of gaining full confidence. We don't see everybody healed that we encounter, we pray for, who walks into our healing center. But we are growing. And I think for everybody, the model is the guy who said, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And I think that's an honest assessment for every one of us. There are certain things where my belief system, my Christian belief system is really strong and you couldn't shake it. You know, there's absolutely unshakable, you know. Like, say, Andy, do you believe you're going to heaven when you die?
No question, yeah.
No question. Well, you're confident. That's an extraordinary statement. Do you know, that's a beyond this world statement. But most Christians would be, they've got faith nailed down there, because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So we're not hoping that we go to heaven when we die, because that's not a great gospel to preach. We have an assurance of that. Well, that's what faith looks like. But most of us would have started with some hope. And in the realms of healing, I think we're still, often I include myself in this, we're praying more in hope than confidence. But if we get it right and we gradually grow in that, then hope will turn into assurance. And that's when we really know we've got it. And then it just becomes normal, as we see in the New Testament. And I think we have to resist some theological thoughts, if I can put it that way, that try and dismiss the idea that Jesus healed everybody. He healed everybody who asked him, but not everybody got healed. Like those at Nazareth, he couldn't do miracles there. You know, so it's not a new thing that not everybody gets healed, but actually Jesus did attribute it to our faith. So my personal journey is to keep growing in faith, so I'll see more people healed this year than I did last year. And I'm still have to deal with any unbelief that's within me. And I think that's true for any Christian.
And anecdotally, Pete, some would suggest that they seem to have more authority in some areas of ministry, particularly in some healing. I think there's a guy who had a particular authority in the healing of deafness, for example. Chris Gore, I believe.
Yep. Chris Gore. Yeah, I know Chris Gore. Chris is a friend of mine, a New Zealand guy. I think you see it with somebody like Heidi Baker, who's well known, you know, in terms of actually when they go out into the jungles of Mozambique and go into the villages to preach the gospel, the first thing is say, hey, bring me anybody who's deaf or got a hearing problem, and nearly all of them get healed. They have they've got an authority, but that's a confidence. They've got an experience, but and also blind, but most of that is acquired through ongoing endeavor. It doesn't happen for most people straight away, because I think confidence has to grow. I myself would say I've got two areas where I'm particularly confident. That's the knees and asthma. You know, I would say I see huge success in those realms. Other realms, not bad. Some realms you think a bit more challenging. And I think particularly with talking as a doctor, the reality is with sickness, it is accompanied by so many different emotions. And something like a bad knee doesn't have quite as much emotion involved as a cancer diagnosis, you understand? And sometimes the anxiety that crowds in and the fears that come in, and remember, fear is not an aspect of the kingdom of heaven, it's the other way around. But if that becomes a prevailing atmosphere, then we won't actually help people to touch Jesus if we're anxious, if we're fearful. And I think, so where you haven't got confidence in something, I think there's still a little bit of things going on in your mind. But when you've got it nailed down, you don't even think about it. You know you've got authority, because actually it just happens. You know, and like yourself, Andy, I think, having been on one of our training courses, growing in confidence in, say, the realm of prophecy, you can grow in that, because that's establishing your gift into a normal part of your Christian lifestyle.
We're listening to The Leadership Show with me, Andy Peck, joined by Dr. Pete Carter, who's one of the directors of Eastgate Church in Gravesend. We've been talking about authority and power. And so, Pete, this kind of connects us, our conversation about healing, to heaven in healthcare. And you as a doctor are the founder of this ministry, charity, whatever, and are looking to encourage those in the nursing and doctor profession or medical profession. And obviously in this last year, the eyes of certainly Britain and the world have been on the medical world.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm, let's say, a medical doctor, and I was, I'd say, fortunate. I was brought up with a non-religious upbringing and was born again when I was 16. And I'd already decided at that stage that I wanted to become a doctor. So I was very excited to be a doctor. And then I was super excited that I would actually be able to involve God in my daily life as a doctor. And that was basically my story. I did, you know, and I've seen God do extraordinary things in me and around me and through me in the medical world. But what I found is that a lot of Christians in the medical world, and it's not just doctors, nurses, physios, OTs, it can be anybody, Christians who went in with a dream of their Christianity making a difference, actually have had that dream somehow squashed out of them by belief systems around them that told them they couldn't do that. And that's quite a common thing. Oh, no, you're not allowed to do that. And often a fear-based reaction. And the number one thing probably is the fear of disappointing people, you know, over-promising, so to speak, your Christian realities. So I realised this. I thought, well, actually, we need to be able to restore people's hope, faith, and dreams, that God will be active in them through their in their workplace and into their workplaces. And I say, if you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit inside you, then you actually have the resources of heaven inside you. And one of the ways I try and get people to think about, well, what is heaven in healthcare? So if you imagine Jesus working as a porter in your local hospital, would it make a difference? You'd have a different expectation, wouldn't you, of what would happen in that hospital?
Indeed.
Well, that's what it should be like. Any Christian, it could be a porter, it could be a cleaner, it could be a GP receptionist, it can be a GP consultant surgeon. But if you're a Christian, you have that resource within you. And so heaven in healthcare is there to enable people to access the full potential of their Christianity and work it out in that particularly demanding workplace. And what is particularly true at the moment, that the health services have been so pressurized. And so we're basically there to enable people and also systems to benefit from the resources of heaven that are available to us. And we've got a conference coming up on the 1st or 2nd October at Eastgate. And we want to encourage, inspire, equip, and also give people a community to belong to so they don't feel like they're just on their own. And people can either go to the Heaven in Healthcare website, which is heaveninhealthcare.com, or the Eastgate website, eastgate.org.uk, and they'll find ways to the conference. But the Heaven in Healthcare website will tell you a lot more about it. And we produced a lot of resources, so inspirational resources and training resources, and we're just starting up a podcast. So for during the whole COVID reality, we ran a weekly YouTube show called In Real Life, just dealing with the realities of life. So very much there to support, encourage, equip, and enable any Christian who works in the realm of healthcare.
And I would imagine that in this last year, Pete, the COVID challenge will have diminished the faith of some, perhaps, who prayed for folk who had COVID and didn't see restoration in this world. They're obviously wonderfully restored in the world to come. I don't know whether you have any comment on Christians praying for COVID patients.
Well, I think basically, people used to ask me as a doctor, how many of your patients you pray for? I say every one of them, because most of them don't know. You know, it's a sense of they're covered in my prayer life, you know, in general, but also specifically. And you get the occasional opportunity to pray with people in real life there and then, but it's, you know, my job as a doctor, not an evangelist. So there is that sense of you pray for patients, and when you lose them, it's hard. You know, it's the emotional cost of being a healthcare worker is always large, always has been, it always will be. But these last 18 months have been like nothing else. What I've seen of my colleagues is the pressure that they've experienced, but also actually some of the amazing opportunities. So we've got some extraordinary stories of stuff of breaking out. We're just making a testimony film of an extraordinary COVID healing. So we'll have that out through Eastgate Studios within the next few months. So we do see them, but yeah, I think you have to, it's a mix, you know, you got the highs and the lows definitely of it, but the pressure that people have been under. And I think that's where it's been a challenge to people's faith, is actually just their own mental well-being, their physical well-being. It's been tough. And that's why we exist. That's why Heaven and Healthcare is there. It's there to support people and replenish them. And also, just saying, actually, you know, Eastgate is a church. So on this last Saturday, we actually had a celebratory cream tea in Eastgate for the workers of a local hospital. And they were just overwhelmed by our desire to bless them and just cherish them and value them unconditionally. We took an offering, and with that, they wanted to have a party in Eastgate. So we did that. And so I think that there's all sorts of things you can do to support healthcare workers, but it has been very difficult.
Pete, as we come to a close, just, I suppose, a final question in terms of the practicalities of what we've been talking about. So we've been talking about authority and power, and you've said that every leader, every person, every Christian has heaven within inside them by the Spirit. So what would you say might be a practical step of someone listening now, from, you know, the week ahead? what would you suggest they do to start exercising this authority?
I think the easy thing is just ask God to highlight an opportunity to them within the next week where they could take a step out in faith, whether it's an encouragement, whether it's just I'll pray for you about that. And most people are very open to prayer, maybe not in the moment, but and if you just say that, oh, thanks, all right. I think most Christians fear rejection about that far more than is the reality. So I think just starting to step up and say, oh, actually, that went okay. And it's a little by little step, but just to take something. So I say, ask God to speak to you, just highlight to you in the next week, in wherever it is, sometime during the week, an opportunity where you can just step out in faith, just go a little bit beyond your comfort zone, take that and just see what happens.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for all you've shared and for lifting our faith levels, as it were, to believe in confidence that God is doing far more in us and through us than we can ever hope or imagine. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
That was my conversation with Dr. Pete Carter. And I trust it's stretched your thinking and outlook as you reflect on the authority that we enjoy as part of God's family and as those authorized to speak in Jesus' name and take authority through Christ. It's great to have you along. I look forward to your company again very soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.